Thanks for joining us for the podcast of the Campbelltown Anglican Churches.
John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known."
Thank you, Georgina and Estelle. I want you to take a moment with people around you to just ask your questions of each other. What shocks you, stands out for you, is confusing? Here's one I just noticed as we read. We can be children born of God. Well, how can that be? Sue Veach would not like to have Jason Veach go back in the womb so he can be born in some other way. What does it mean to be born of God? Maybe you have some questions that you'd like resolved today or in our John series. Take a moment, then Michael will come up to open this passage.
I love to hear the sound of all that talking going on. I might bring it back there. It's great that you've been having a chance to think through some questions together, and hopefully as we go through the passage now, we'll get to answer some of those questions. But even if you don't, it'll be great to chat about those questions over some supper after the service, or come chat to me afterwards. Well, good evening. It's lovely to see you all here this evening. If we haven't met yet, my name is Michael. I'm the 6 p.m. pastor here. So I'm very much looking forward to getting to meet you if we haven't met yet, or to continue to get to know you after the service. And I want to extend my welcome to Jason's. It's great that you can join us. And particularly today, as we begin with the introduction to John's Gospel, we're beginning a new series this term going through the Gospel of John. We're going to be introduced to Jesus today, and we're going to get to know him more and more as we come through John's Gospel. So it's great that you're here today. This is a great introduction for you, not only to Jesus, but who we are here at 6 p.m. Well, let's pray and ask for God's help that we might understand his word, that we might believe the word, and that we might have life in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just as you promised in the prophet Isaiah, as the rain and the snow comes down from heaven and does not return without watering the earth and bringing forth fruit, so may your word that comes now, may it not return to you empty, but accomplish exactly what you desire and achieve the purpose for which you sent it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's the start of another year. The start of a new school year, perhaps for you, with new teachers and new students. Perhaps it's the start of a new job for you. Or this, you know, settling into a new home like me. Or maybe starting here at church at the very beginning of this year. So it's this time of year where we get a lot of new introductions as we introduce ourselves to others and as others introduce themselves to us. So I want you to think for a moment, how do you introduce yourself? Maybe you say hello, maybe you shake their hands, maybe you tell them what you do during the week, whether you study or work, who's in your family. But I wonder, have you had any strange introductions? Now, hopefully you haven't had any strange introductions today as you walked into church. Hopefully it's been very welcoming. But have you had any strange introductions? Well, here's a couple of examples of strange introductions out there. Maybe it's a message in a bottle at the beach, or a text message from a Nigerian prince who's come into some money troubles. But here's another one coming up on the screen. What about this online service called spacespeak.com? Now, SpaceSpeak is a service that allows anyone to beam messages, introductions, maybe even images into the farthest reaches of space, presumably to far-off aliens who need to get to know us. Now, here's one message I saw during the week, which I thought was quite useful. So coming up on the screen, maybe you can't read it. I'll read it out for you. One user wrote, "Dear extraterrestrial alien visitors to Earth, please come talk to me. You know who I am. You found me before with a dance of birds." And then he provides his contact details for the aliens to get in touch with him. It's a rather strange introduction. But what about when it comes to God? How does God introduce himself? Well, you see, the Bible tells us that God introduces himself most fully in Jesus, which is why those who saw Jesus, those who followed him around, they wrote down their account so that others may know God as they meet Jesus. Now, I know for many of us in growth group during this past week, we found this introduction to John's Gospel rather strange. You see, unlike a lot of the other Gospel accounts, John starts his account with Jesus with, "In the beginning was the Word." Maybe that was a question you just had. What on earth does that mean? What on earth is the Word? What's going on here with this introduction to Jesus? It's quite a strange introduction. But in case you're feeling a bit confused, well, John tells us the purpose of why he wrote this gospel. And we can see that at the end of John's gospel coming up on the screen, John 20, 30 to 31. This is why John wrote this gospel account. John writes, "John performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." You see, the purpose of John's gospel is for us to meet Jesus, for us to encounter him, for us to know who he is, the Son of God, the chosen King, and that by believing in him, we might have life that lasts. That's what this gospel is about, and that's what our series going through John's gospel this term is about, meeting Jesus, believing in him, and having life that lasts. So it'd be great if you had your Bible open there to John chapter 1, or maybe look over with a friend. It'd be great to have your outline as well. Let's get stuck in. Let's meet Jesus. Now, John's gospel is that great introduction, a bit like the trailer before a movie, giving you the key ideas, introducing you to the main characters, and see what's going to come in the rest of the gospel. And John gives us three key descriptions to Jesus in this introduction. Jesus as the eternal word, Jesus as the light who gives life, and Jesus as the Son from the Father. And as we go through these three descriptions, I want you to pay careful attention, because these descriptions are not random. They're not some kind of abstract, weird ideas out there. No, John wants us to see that who Jesus is, what Jesus came to do, is what God had long promised to do. Well, let's get to our first description in point one there in the outline. First, we meet Jesus as the eternal word. Now, as strange as these first few verses seem, what John tells us about Jesus is actually quite straightforward. So let's work through these first four verses and see what it tells us. And we can see those four things there in your outline. Verse one, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. John tells us that the word is divine. He was God and with God. The word is fully God, but not identical to God. Verse 1, the word is divine. And then see with me, verse 2, he was with God in the beginning. The word is eternal. He was there from the very beginning with God. There was no time when he was not. The word has always existed with God. Verse 2, the word is eternal. Verse 3, the word is creator. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. You see, John describes it in opposite terms. So all things were made through him, and nothing that was made without him. The word is the creator. And then verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. You see, the word is the life source. He has life within himself. He both sustains creation and upholds it by his very word. He brings forth new life, life that lasts. And this is an idea we'll see developed more and more through John's gospel. So there you go, very simple, four things that John wants to tell us about the word. The word is the eternal, divine creator and life source. But at this point, we still haven't answered that question. What on earth is John doing describing Jesus as the word? What does that even mean? Well, some ancient Greek philosophers, they believed that there was this divine word, this divine logos, logos, Greek word, meaning word. This divine logos that was the governing principle by which all things were created and have their being. And so some people say, well, John is just using that idea, the logos, to describe Jesus and help people understand who Jesus is. Well, that's possible, but I think a better option is to see the Old Testament as a better place to go. As we read before in Genesis 1, verse 1, it begins with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? How does God create in Genesis 1? And God said, and it was so. And God said, and it was so. God creates and sustains by his word. But what John's saying here is something quite radical, something fascinating, that this word is not just a word, it's a person. Jesus is the eternal word who created all things and sustains it by his power. But go down a little bit further, verse 14, something that blows your mind. The divine, eternal creator and life source, he dwelled among us. Verse 14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. John wants us to see that Jesus, the word, God himself, has come flesh and blood. He came to dwell among us so that we could, so he could be seen and touched and known. This is just as God had long promised. You see, that word for dwell, he dwelled among us. It's the same word that means to pitch a tent, to tabernacle. Jesus, the divine word, came and tabernacled with his people. Now, if you know any of the Old Testament, you'll know the significance of that idea, to tabernacle. We've just finished went through an Exodus series last year, and we saw God rescuing his people out of Egypt, out of slavery, to be his people. And he promises that he would dwell with them. And so God tells the Israelites to make this special tent, this tabernacle, in which he will dwell amongst his people. And he has some special instructions about how to do that. And so coming up on the screen, Exodus 29, the Lord tells them that he'll set apart this tabernacle. And we see then in verse 45, "Then I will dwell among the Israelites and be their God. They will know that I am the Lord, their God, who brought them out of Egypt so that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord, their God." You see, God promised Israel that he would dwell among them. God gave them the tabernacle. And all these things were to prepare them for the coming of Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of what was promised with the tabernacle. God dwelling amongst his people, not in a tent, but in flesh and blood, to be seen, touched, and worshipped. What grace God has shown us in Jesus. Do you marvel at God's grace that he would become human, flesh and blood, so that we could know him, that we could have assurance, that we could have life in his name? The divine, eternal creator and life source became flesh and blood and dwelt among us, just as God had long promised. Well, we get to the second description of Jesus in verse 5. We're up to point 2. Jesus is the light who gives life. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And a bit further down, verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Now, it's between these two verses, then, we get introduced to a new character, John the Baptist. Now, we'll get to see a bit more of the significance of John the Baptist next week in the second half of John chapter 1. But here we see why John the Baptist came. He came to be a witness to the light. Read with me verse 6. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light." We have to see again the significance of witnesses to Jesus throughout this term, but there's something important I want to ask you here. Why does John describe Jesus as the light? What's so important about Jesus being the light? Now, of course, light and darkness is a powerful, provocative sort of image that John kind of plays on throughout his gospel. But there's actually something far more important going on here. For again, it's a fulfillment of what God had long promised. We need to look back at the Old Testament to see the importance of the light and what God had promised. You see, the Lord gave this promise through the prophet Isaiah at a time when his people had rejected the Lord, when they had walked away in darkness with the nations. He gave this powerful promise in the midst of judgment. Coming up on the screen, Isaiah chapter 9. "Nevertheless, there'll be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he, the Lord, humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan." And notice what he says here. The people walking in darkness, they have seen what? A great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You see, like Isaiah and the prophets of old, John the Baptist, he was bearing witness to this light, to say that this great light, he has finally dawned. Jesus, the light of the world, has come. Now, this is not just good news for Israel either. This light will bring salvation to the very ends of the earth. We see this come up a little bit later in Isaiah's prophecy, where the Lord says about what the Lord says about his coming servant in Isaiah 49, coming up on the screen there. The Lord says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Israel and the tribes of Jacob. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." You see, it's no accident that John calls Jesus the light of the world in this introduction. No, John wants us to know that Jesus is that long-promised light, the one who will bring salvation to the nations for all who believe in his name. So how have you responded to this light? Maybe you've responded in one of the two ways that John flags in this next section. For it's this Old Testament context of God's own people rejecting him that we then read verses 9 to 11. See that with me, verse 9. "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him." The creation didn't recognize its creator. And worse still, God's own people, Israel, those who should have welcomed Jesus with open arms, what do? They reject him. This is an idea we'll see it come up again and again. Jesus came to his own, but his own did not receive him. What a tragic rejection. To reject God's promised king, the one who would save them, the one who would give them life, and they reject him. Have you made that same mistake? But then we see the other response of Jesus in verse 12. "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Wow. What a gracious offer. As John says in the next verse, it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or not, whether you come from a Christian family or not, whether you deserve it or not. John says that God welcomes you into his forever family for all who welcome Jesus into their life as king. It's not because of what you've done, but it's because of what Jesus has done for you. And I wonder if you've been looking for this family your whole life. This forever family with a loving father who cares for you, who wants to give you life, to give you the right as a child of God to live with him forever. Well, that's what's on offer through Jesus. Have you welcomed Jesus into your life? You want to belong to God's forever family. And we get that wonderful taste of what that looks like as we gather each Sunday together. As God long promised, Jesus, the light of the world, came to shine into the world of darkness so that we could become children of God. And finally, we get to John's third and final description of Jesus, the Son from the Father, point three in your outlines. Now, John uses the idea of Father and Son quite a bit to describe the relationships we see here within God. And it's so rich in meaning, we won't get time to unpack it, but we'll see it come out in the next couple of weeks. But something I want you to focus on is what John and the other apostles saw. What did they see? Verse 14, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. What did they see? They saw the glory of the one and only Son. Now, there's a story in the Bible, in the Old Testament, about Moses. Now, Moses, hugely important figure in the Bible, in the Old Testament. God used Moses powerfully to deliver his people out of Egypt, out of slavery. God gave his law to his people through Moses. Moses performed many amazing signs and wonders. It said that God spoke to Moses like he's talking to a friend face to face. Moses, totally unique. No one has ever come like him again. Now, one day, Moses is talking to God and he says, "Show me your glory, God. Show me your glory." And God says, "I will show you my glory, but you cannot see my face, for no one can see my face and live." And so God tells Moses he'll put him into a cleft of the rock, a little crack in the rock. And he says, my glory will pass by you. And I'll put my hand over you to cover you so that you do not behold all my glory. And I'll remove my hand just as I pass so that you do not see my face, but only my back. And so God does this. He passes by Moses, proclaiming his name, all his glory. He says, "The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness, forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin." And when Moses, when he saw the very glimpse of God's glory, what did he do? He bowed down and worshipped. Friends, this is the glory that John and the apostles saw. This is the glory that they saw in all its fullness. What Moses could only glimpse, John and the other apostles saw in full glory as they beheld Jesus, God himself. They saw the glory of the one and only Son, full of grace and truth. Friends, if you want to know God, if you want to behold the glory of God, then look to Jesus. For out of his fullness, we have all received the fullest expression of God's grace, to receive undeserved life and welcome into his forever family. If you want to see and behold the glory of God, then look to Jesus. Now, friends, this is why the witnesses are so important. Well, we weren't there 2,000 years ago to see Jesus ourselves face to face. No, we get to see the importance of the witnesses come up in verse 14 and 15 because John the Baptist, John and the other apostles, they saw the glory of God in Jesus. They touched, they felt, they experienced Jesus. And it's through their witness, their testimony written down for us that one day we too might know and meet Jesus and have life through his name. So will you listen to the witnesses this term? As we engage with John's gospel this term, will you pay careful attention to the witnesses and what they have to say? Are you ready to meet Jesus? And then in verse 18, John wraps up his introduction with such a rich verse. We ask at the very beginning of our time, how does God introduce himself? Verse 18, "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and in closest relationship with the Father, he has made him known." Now, what Jesus tells us about the Father is not what a kid tells their parents as they get home from school. "How was school? Good. What did you learn? Not much. All right." No, the word that's used here to describe what Jesus does is the same word for exegesis. Jesus exegetes the Father. He unpacks the truth about the Father in great detail. He expounds, explains, describes, so that we can truly and fully know God through Jesus. How can you know God? Through Jesus, the one and only Son from the Father. He has made him known. As God long promised, Jesus, the glorious Son from the Father, came to make the Father known. So friends, tonight we've been introduced to Jesus. What once seemed like a strange introduction to John's gospel has been revealed to be such a rich encounter with Jesus, the eternal Word who became flesh and dwelled among us, the light who gives life to all who believe in his name, and the Son sent from the Father to make the Father known. So what should we do as we encounter Jesus today? What should we do as we encounter Jesus throughout this term? Well, I want to suggest three things. You can see those on your outline. The first is I want to encourage you to listen to the witnesses. If you're someone who's just met Jesus, if you've just been introduced to Jesus tonight, can I encourage you to listen to the witnesses? Witnesses like John the Baptist, witnesses like John and the other disciples of Jesus, like Moses and the prophets of the Old Testament, for they saw the glory of God in Jesus, and they were so convinced that you needed to know that they wrote down their accounts so that one day you might read or hear of this gospel. You might read and hear about Jesus, that you might meet Jesus and have life in his name. Now, one great way to listen to the witnesses is to read through John's gospel with us in this term. Join us each week at church as we go through John's gospel. Or maybe you might like to read through John's gospel with a friend, or maybe with me or someone else. We'd love to help you do that. We also regularly run these Meet Jesus courses. It's a short course to help you meet Jesus, to encounter him as you go through the claims of Jesus, to consider them, to ask questions, to listen to the witnesses. If you'd like to join one of our Meet Jesus course that we run each term, come chat to me after the service. We'd love to connect you into that, and Mick would love to connect you into that. Now, maybe you've met Jesus. Maybe you're someone who's been sitting on the fence for a little while about who Jesus is and whether to follow him, to believe in his name. Well, can I encourage you today, make the day today the day that you commit to following Jesus, trusting in his name, trusting that he is the one who gives you new life. Because friends, that is so exciting if you want to follow Jesus. For God longs to welcome you into his forever family. He longs to give you life that lasts, a life that this world cannot offer you. And all it takes is just a simple prayer. I'd love to pray that prayer with you after the service. I'll be sitting down the front. Please come and talk to me if you want to be someone who follows Jesus and have life, an everlasting life. But for many of you, I know that you have met Jesus, that you've believed in his name, and that you have this life that lasts. And I want to say praise God for that. Praise God. But as we've encountered Jesus afresh today, are you prepared to bear witness to the life that is yours in Jesus? Are you prepared to be one of the witnesses to share with others the life that they too can have? And if you are ready to bear witness to Jesus this term, as we join together with our area to bear witness to Jesus, are you prepared for the rejection that will come? For as the world rejected its creator, we can expect that we too will be rejected as we proclaim Jesus. So are you so captivated by Jesus? Are you so compelled by his love that you're willing to endure rejection for his name so that others might have the chance to hear, believe, and also have life in his name? Well, friends, today we've met Jesus. How will you respond? Let's pray. Almighty God, we give you great thanks, for you have revealed yourself to us through your Son. For it is through Jesus, the eternal Word, the one who made all things, it is through him becoming flesh and blood, dwelling amongst us, revealing your glory, the glory of the only Son of you. Father, we thank you that by revealing yourself to us in your Son, we have come to know you as our Father, that by believing in Jesus' name, we've become your children, and that by receiving Jesus, we have received life and life that lasts. Father, we pray for those who are still investigating who Jesus is. We pray that you would help them to see Jesus in all his glory, that they would receive him as their Lord and Saviour. We pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.
We're going to sing, so please stand.
Thanks for joining us for this sermon podcast. Check out more of our resources at campbelltownanglican.org or come visit us at church sometime.